Amen. Well, like he said, myself, my oldest daughter, Leah, Tanya, and Tina, we all went to the women's conference last week in Asheville, and I just want you to know that it was an amazing time. Pastor Miriam, we are planning for a women's conference up here, hopefully in November. I'll get you more of that information, but I'm telling you, next time we have one, I'm going to just, like, string all of you to the back of my car if I have to. It was so great. Pastor Jussada from Brazil was there. And Pastor Karen, I dare not say her name because it's Schatz line, was there. And it was the first time I'd ever heard her. And I want you to know it was called the Rise Conference. And I know it was a conference for women, but I said it there and I'm going to say it here. I believe that it's a call to the body to do, you know, for all of us to begin to rise up in the things that God is calling us to do. You know, too long the church has sat kind of quiet and let things begin to happen. But you know, God did not call us to be quiet. He gave us a voice. He gave us things to do. And you know, now is our time to begin to rise up and to begin to. God has things, and I just want to start off encouraging you all. You have a purpose. You have a call. God has something for you to do. And now is God is saying it is time to rise up. Your situation that you're looking at, that is not the truth, because God says there are more for you than are against you. There is more that God wants to do in your life and through your life. And now God is calling us to rise up. And I just want you to know that this is not going to be one of those little happy-go-lucky messages. I feel like I'm going to step on some toes today. You might leave mad at me, but that's okay, because I have to be obedient to the Lord. So if you're mad at me, it just means you're mad at God. I love you. God loves you. He wants to tell you these things. So I don't necessarily have a he began to speak title for my message. I just want to tell you exactly what God did. I mean, God did so much, and he began to speak to me so strong while we were at this conference. And I came back, and I think my husband, I bugged him. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is what happened. And God said this, and God said that. And, you know, I'm going to share some of that. The scripture I'm going to be using today is in 2 Kings 6:13-18. And I want you to know, have anybody in here, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but has anybody in here ever felt like you were in a situation where you were just surrounded, you kind of felt uncomfortable, you didn't know what was going on, but you kind of felt squeezed in? I'm going to give you an example. When we were in Italy, we had to go maybe once a year. It was a place called the Questura. I'm not sure like the police station. And so we would have to go once a year to get our documents. So you would go to make an appointment to make it. So you'd go make an appointment. Then you go to that next appointment to make another appointment to go and actually register for your documents. Then to come back at another time. You guys follow me. It's like this long process. And so it was my turn. My documents were up, and so I went. First time I've ever gone by myself. Pastor James and the kids, we usually all go together. This is the first time I've been by myself. So I'm like all courageous. I'm all excited. It's the first thing I'm doing. And I get there, and there is this mass of people. And I don't mean like I mean there's like at least 100 people. And they are not like all spread out. They are all crowded. Like I had to push my way through in, like kind of like literally move people out of my way to get in to talk to somebody and to see what was going on. And what they do is they open the gate, and they begin to call your number. And if they call your number, you better make it in that gate, because if they close it, you following me? Okay, so here I am, and all of a sudden I hear my number. I'm like, oh, that's me, and I'm way in the back over there, and the gate's way over here, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, how am I going to get through this massive crowd of people? And I'm not, like, naturally, I'm not like, get out of my way. I got to get through. You know, I'm like, excuse me. Let me through. Excuse me. So, and, you know, people weren't letting me through because everybody was trying to get into the gate so they would make it in before they closed the gates. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. I started praying. I didn't know what to do because my husband wasn't there. And he's usually the bold one, like, come on, follow me. And we just hold on and tag behind him. And so I'm like, Lord, you've got to help me because I'm not going to get in. And I literally was all the way over there. And then all of a sudden, something just grabbed me and threw me, like literally, I was like, whoa, threw me into the crowd of people and started pushing me. And I was looking like, who is touching me? Oh my God, who is pushing me? I was glad, but there was nobody pushing me. I believe that the Lord was literally helping me get to that place to get my documents. And I mean, I pushed through the crowd. Have you ever been in a place like that? And you're like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. And there's so many people and they're all pushing against you because they want to go in too. And you can't make your way around because everybody's trying to get their documents. And that was one of the most scariest time of my entire life because I thought, I equate it to this, and I don't know if this is a good example, but it's the only one I could think of, was like when you have a herd of cows and they're trying to herd them into the truck and they're all jumbled together and all running together. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get trampled like a cow, like while I'm trying to go to the gate to get in to get my number. The good news is I did make it. I made it in. I think the Holy Spirit and Jesus was pushing me along. But I mean, have you ever been in a place where you felt like that? Maybe not in the natural, but in the spiritual. Have you ever felt just so suffocated and so surrounded by things that have so just come against you and you feel like, oh, I can't move. There's so much around me. I can't push my way through. I can't get through this to get to the other side where I see the gate. I see the Lord. I need to get there, but I can't because all these things are coming against me and pushing against me. Have you ever been there like that? That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, I believe the Lord wants to set us free today. I believe He wants us to start opening our spiritual eyes and seeing what He has truly sent to help us. Sometimes we can get focused on those things that surround us and keep us trapped in. But I believe the Lord wants us to rise up and take what He has given us. Amen. So let's look at 2 Kings really quick. 2 Kings chapter 6, 13 through 18. Now, Syria was at war with Israel. I'm going to give you a really super quick. He went and warned the king of Israel that the Syrians would be coming to a place. In the Bible, in every version that I looked at, it just says a place. It doesn't say where. But God spoke to Elisha, and Elisha told the king, don't go to that place, because this king of Syria is sending people there, and to destroy you is where we come in. So he said, go and see, and this is the king of Syria speaking. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. Now he's talking about the prophet Elijah because he found out that this had happened and he thought there was a traitor in the midst of his company and his army. And so he's talking to his people and he's saying, go and see where he is. Where is Elisha, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there early and went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, now this is Elisha's servant, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So what we're going to be looking at is, what did God do? Elisha prayed, God, the servant woke up, he looked out and he saw the massive army of people and he was like, oh no, what are we going to do? And Elisha's like, no, Lord, open his eyes that he may see the truth, that he can see what is truly there and not what he just believes to be there. Amen. How many of you know sometimes we look and we can only see the things that are in front of us, but we can't see beyond that? Elisha prayed, God, open the eyes of the servant. How many of you know sometimes we need to pray, God, open my eyes that I can see what is really there, that those things that I'm truly looking at is not what the truth is, but the truth is there is more beyond on that because you are with me. Amen. So my first point is, God warns us before something happens, and we need to be able to hear and take his warning. So we read that God warned Elisha, and Elisha went and told the king of Israel that something was happening. So Elisha had a relationship with God, and God was warning him that something was getting ready to happen. He heard it, he listened to God, and he went and he told the king of Israel. Amen? So we need to have a relationship with God so that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, we know that that's the voice of God. We will hear it and we will obey it. Amen. How many of you know God just doesn't leave us hanging out there and go, oh, there's a trial. Oh, there's a little obstacle. Oh, I walk in relationship with him. God is going to tell us. He is going to warn us what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to share this story Pastor Jusada shared. She said she had just ended a job in Brazil. And when she went to the bank to collect her pay. So I guess there they just give you like all of your pay all at once. And so she had all this money and she put it in her purse and she was walking down the street and she said she saw something going on up the street, but she felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, look over there, and there were some sketchy guys over there. And she was like, oh yeah, she didn't think much of it. You know, she kind of felt the Holy Spirit telling her something, but she didn't think much of it. And then she kept walking and she kept looking. Well, to make a long story short, these guys ended up taking that money from her. The Lord was warning her. And you know, have you ever been there? The Lord warns you and sometimes you just brush it off. Oh, maybe it's just me. Oh, maybe it's this or that. The pizza I had last night, you ever felt like that? Like you eat something, you wake up in the morning like, oh, that's not you, God. You ever been there? That happens. God warns his people. He loves us so much that he's not going to just let us dangling out there. He is with us. The Bible says he will not leave us nor forsake us. He is with us, and he's not going to leave us out there to fend for ourselves. He has sent something and someone, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to be with us, and to show us these things. Amen? So in John 10, 3 through 5, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And this is talking about the shepherd and the sheep. And the sheep recognize his voice and come in. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from a stranger. Why? Because they don't know the voice of the stranger. Look, we will not know the voice of the enemy if we don't listen to him. We will only know the voice of our Heavenly Father because that is the voice that we're listening to. Amen? God warns us. He's saying, stop listening to those voices in your head. You know, we have the power and the authority to pray for our thoughts. Did you know that? We can take authority in Jesus' name over the thoughts that begin to come in our head. You know, the Lord says part of the armor of God is what? The helmet of salvation. I put on the helmet of salvation, Lord, that those things, those thoughts that the enemy is bringing to my mind, they will not prosper. They will not go forward. I will not allow that to be truth in my life. But Lord, I take what you say in your word, and that will be truth in my life. Those are the things that I'm going to listen to. Those are the thoughts that I'm going to have. Amen? We will not know the voice of the enemy if we're listening to the voice of our Father. Amen? Number two, God wants to show us the truth of what we see, the truth. The enemy wants us to think things are worse than they really are. So God wants us to think things are worse than they are. How many of you know when that servant rose up and he began to look out that window when he saw that massive army of people? I'm sure his first thoughts weren't, oh, we're going to be okay. His first thoughts were probably like, oh my gosh, Elijah, wake up. Elijah, wake up. Do you see this? Do you see what's going on out there? Do you see all these people? Oh, they weren't there last night, but when I woke up this morning and looked out, there they are. There they are. Do you see them? And Elisha's like, no. And Elisha prayed and asked God to reveal and open his eyes, and he began to see more of the heavenly army behind the small little army that the king had sent. And how many of you know that I'm sure the faith of that servant began to rise and he began to see, oh my gosh, you are with us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? And he began to rise up and he began to see the truth, not what he perceived to be the truth, but the truth of what God had said and what God was doing. And God was there to be with them. You know, the enemy wants to put fear and panic in our lives. Because he knows when we begin to rise up, what's coming his way. How many of you know we've given the power and the authority to trample over every serpent and scorpion and over all the power of the earth, and that's the enemy's power, and God has given us the power to trample on top of him, and he knows that once we begin to rise up and really know who we are in God and begin to walk in the authority that he has given us, that he has no right in our life. And that makes him mad. But guess what? We're going to rise up today in Jesus' name. We're going to know what God is calling us to do, and we're going to begin to take back what the enemy has tried to take back from us. We're going to begin to see the truth, and we're going to begin to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when Elijah prayed in verse 17, he saw his emotional truth. The servant saw that his emotional truth was not real and that God has sent a vast army. And I say emotional truth because how many of you know when you look and you see that, what begins to happen? Ooh, fear comes. Doubt comes. Oh, God, but you said, and then that fear takes a hold of you. The doubt begins to take a hold of you. But when our eyes are open, we can see that there are more for us than are against us. Amen. You know, I believe that's what the Lord is saying. There are more for us than are for against us. And some of us need to rise up in that and begin to declare that today. Circumstances may look like this. My bank account may be more for me than are against me. I see that my circumstances may look like this. My bank account may look like this. He who is in, but I'm telling you right now, I'm rising up in Jesus' name because you've been taking and believing what you are saying, God, and I'm moving forward. No matter what I feel like, no matter what I see, God, because the truth is that you are for me. Amen. Hallelujah. When we begin to move forward in God, we begin to move forward in peace and not fear, in hope and not depression, in courage and not panic. These things begin to rise up within us. Why? Because we are listening to the voice of our Father and not the voice of the enemy. We're beginning to, you know, I'm what God sees and not what the enemy chooses for us to see. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm tired of allowing the enemy to steal my focus. How many of you are tired of that? You know, you begin, oh God, today, this week, I'm going to read my word every day and I'm going to pray. I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to pray and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And how many of you know sometimes by day two, you're like, whoa, what did I, God, I didn't mean 5 o'clock. I really meant like maybe 7 or 8, you know, or maybe on my drive on the way to work. You know what I'm saying? We start to make excuses. We start, oh, but you know what? I'm tired of allowing the enemy to steal my focus. And I tell you, I don't have any more excuses. Our youngest daughter, Miriam, started high school this year. And I'm blessed the high schoolers because we're up at 5:30, 5:45 every morning. And I know, like, I'm not military, so I didn't always have to wake up early. You know, I'm on my kids' schedule. So, but 5:30 is early. You know, for a 14-year-old to wake up to go to school, and she doesn't come home till like after 5, and now she's in volleyball, sometimes not going to be till like 9 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, woo, these kids. Pray for our kids waking up that early. But now I don't have an excuse. I'm up. She's out of the house. He's out of the house early in the morning doing some things as well. And then Aaliyah, she comes home late at night, so sometimes she's still asleep. So like 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm golden. I can pray. I have that time. I have no excuse anymore. The enemy does not have the right to steal my focus anymore. Amen. And how many of you know, when we're focused on the Lord, remember how I said I was going to step on some people's feet this morning? And I'm going to step on some people's feet because I really felt like God was speaking this to me. You know, when we begin to focus on the Lord, how many of you know nothing else matters? The traffic will not be my excuse for being late to church on Sunday morning. Traffic will not be my excuse for going to a connect group and being late to it. How many of you know that traffic is not an excuse for us? We have allowed the enemy to come and say, oh, you live in Northern Virginia, so there's traffic. So, you know, well, you can leave even 10 minutes early, but sometimes you won't get there on time. But how many of you know that that doesn't matter? Because if our focus is on the Lord and our heart is for the Lord and all we want is more of him, we're going to be the first ones there. You know, when we were in Bible school, we had 2 small children. Aaliyah was just 1. Our son, 5. We were there. We were sitting in line waiting for the doors to open. Why? Because we're special? No, because our heart was on fire for the Lord, because we didn't want to miss 1 second or 1 word of what God had to do. Not 1 song did we want to miss, because we knew God was there and he was going to do something. Whether it was good or with our heart, matter, but God showed up. Why? Because we were expecting him to. We were coming with our heart set on the Lord, and he showed up. He always shows up. Hallelujah. God is so good. When our eyes are focused on the Lord, how many of you know that we won't be ashamed to raise our hands during praise and worship, because we don't care who's looking at us. All we care is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's who we're going after. That's who our heart is burning for. Our heart is burning for the Lord. That's who we want, because I want to be wherever God is at. He is with me everywhere I go. But how many of you know, sometimes during praise and worship up here, I don't know if you guys can feel it out there, but boy, we sure can feel the presence of the Lord up there. Why? Because we're coming expecting. We're coming knowing, God, you're there. We're going to come and we're going to meet you there, and something's going to happen, and it's going to be explosive, and lives are going to be changed. Our hearts are going to be changed. Our focus is going to be changed. God wants us to have that heart just set on fire for him. He wants, and how do we do that? Coming to church on time, being in the middle of everything that God is doing, praise and worship at your house, praying at your house, in your car. I know we talk about this a lot. I'm sure some people think we're crazy when we're driving down, and we're, especially now, we have a new song that they kept playing at the conference. It's called Surrender. Surrounded. Thank you. I get it wrong all the time because the main chorus is, this is how I fight my battle. And so now it's just blasting in our house all the time. I think our neighbors can hear, but that's okay. We all need to learn how to fight a battle, right? So it's talking about fighting the battle in prayer and fighting the battle through praise and worship and thanksgiving. And we're blasting it as we're going down the road. And just the other day, my daughter and I, Miriam, we were driving somewhere and I had my windows rolled down. And it's just blaring. And the lady in the car looked at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, I want to share Jesus with everybody. When your heart is on fire for the Lord, you don't want one person to walk by you without having that fire and that love for the Lord. You want to share it with everybody. Why? Because he's done something in you, and you know that he wants to do something in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point number three. We can have as little or as much of God as we want. You know, that servant could have said, no, Elisha, I don't want to see that. I don't care. This is what I'm looking at. This is all I see. How many of you know he could have gotten freaked out by that and just gone all kinds of crazy? But he said no. Or as much of God accepted what he saw, he accepted what the Lord began to show him. We can have as little or as much of God as we want. How much do you want of God, Lord? How much do you want of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I want all that I can get of him, because I know that when I don't have him, you know, there's those times where maybe, like I said, you don't pray like you should, or you don't read like you should. And you know, you begin to feel, and that's what Pastor James was saying, it's good to have someone be walking with you in the spirit, because guess what? They can see that and they can go, have you been praying today? Have you been reading your word today? Have you been doing praise and worship today? Because I can tell something's not right. My mood, I get kind of moody. So it's just me. Am I the only one who kind of, you know, when I know I'm not following the Lord, I kind of, as closely as I should, you know, my moods kind of swing and I'm kind of edgy and moody. And like, I tell everybody to go away because I'll just snap at them. Okay, maybe it's just me. So, but I know that that is a sign that I need to rise up and I need to pray. So, I have determined, they don't know it, they just do it because I do it, that praise and worship music will be playing in my house all the time. As much as we can, we'll be playing praise and worship. We've even adopted some Spanish praise and worship songs. If you want some good ones, anybody, we got some. We brought back from Peru with us. They're amazing. It's called, you know, Being Free in the Lord. It sounds better in Spanish. And the blessings of Bless the Lord, Bendito Jesus. And I just want to tell you that we are always playing some praise and worship. And I am not ashamed to dance in front of my kids. I'm not ashamed to lift my hands in front of my kids and praise the Lord. Why? Because they need to learn how to fight battles too. They need to learn where their focus needs to be. They need to learn that to see is he who is in them than he that is in the Lord. How many of you know our kids need to see that? They need to see us do that. They need to see us be the examples of who God is calling us to be, because he is calling my children to do beyond what I am doing and what my husband is doing. And they have a call on their life as well. And we need to give them the tools to be able to rise up and to be able to go forward and fight those battles too. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can have as little, our eyes can deceive us. That's why we need to know the voice of our Lord. That's why we read in the beginning, the sheep hear his voice, they know it, and they follow him, but they do not follow the stranger. They do not follow the strange voice. I don't want to know that other voice. I want to know the voice of my Father. You know, in Exodus 3:20, the Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, everybody say that, thank you, you can say it, I can't, maybe you could say it for me, exceedingly, abundantly. That means way more. I mean, exceedingly and abundantly means, whoa, I can't even understand that. It means like God wants to do way more. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. What is the power that works within us? It's the power of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God working within us. And he wants to do more. He wants to do more in your life. He wants to do more in your finances. You know, he wants to do more in healing you and using you to heal others. You know, he wants to do more in you using your testimony and sharing with other people. You know, he wants to do more than what we're doing right now. Hallelujah. He wants to use us more. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In my understanding, all means everything, lacking not one thing. It means all things. And that means if I tithe, even though it looks like I cannot, God is ready to respond. And you know, I just want to talk about tithing for a minute. You know, tithing is what God commands us to do. It's 10%. You can read it in Malachi. You can read it in the Bible. It is in there. That's what God commands us to do, is 10% is the tithe. And I want you to know that there have been times where we haven't had any money, no money to tithe. If we tithe, then we wouldn't be able to feed our two small children. And I'm just telling you the truth, but how many of you know that God provided for us? When we got married, the first thing we said was two things. We said we'd never use the word divorce. And we said we would always tithe no matter what. And I want you to know that we have stayed true to that. And it is not in our power, not in our might, but only by the might of the Lord that we did give a tithe when you know you could buy some hamburger meat. But we've agreed to do that, and we did it, and God has been faithful every time. So I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe God is telling you have to rise up in your tithing. Maybe you have to rise up in your giving. You know, that's part of it. God has a blessing attached to that. Hallelujah. How many of you know, like, away? When we were in Italy, we couldn't bring it back with us, so we gave it to some pastor friends of ours whose cars got set on fire. So we gave them our car. But how many of you know, God, when we came back, someone gave us a car? I want you to know that God is faithful, and he will do what he says he will do. And it's the one time in the Bible where God says, test me in this and see. I just want to encourage you guys. I mean, we have just lived a life of seeing, and even our children now, you know, our oldest daughter, Leah, is getting ready to go off to college, and we've always been a tithe. Now, she's 18. She's an adult. If you live in my house, you're going to tithe. So, but she still tithes. But, you know, now it's just something that she does. Why? Because she was raised in doing that. It's not like it's weird. It's not like it's strange. It's something that's in her culture. It's in her blood. We've done it with our son, and we're doing it with Miriam. And how many of you know the Lord is beginning to bless her and send things her way for college? Why? Because she is faithful. Because she is seeking first the kingdom of God. And she knows that he will add unto her what she is doing for him. Amen. Hallelujah. That even means when I begin to worship in a time of crisis, God is ready to respond. You know, when you are just feeling like you can't even lift a finger. How many of you know if you just go and your phone is usually right on your pocket or right beside you, turn on some praise and worship. Just click it. It's right there, YouTube. Or you can look it up on Safari. Wherever you can get some music and just start listening to music. And I guarantee you instantly something is going to begin to happen. something inside of you is going to begin to rise up, and you're going to begin to say, oh, my focus has been on this and my focus has been on that, but Lord, your word says this and your word says that, and I'm going to begin to rise up. I'm going to begin to say what you say and do what you do, and these things that I'm seeing really isn't what I'm seeing, because the truth is there are more for me than are against me. The truth is a greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, and your spirit begins to rise up, and you begin to be like David, who encouraged himself in the Lord, who rose up and who went after the things that the enemy was trying to take from him. That's what we need to do. We need to begin to rise up. And I tell you what, I told you already, I probably look silly sometimes driving around in my car and even at home, just jumping up and down in my living room there listening to praise and worship songs, but we have a good time. But it's God changing what I'm seeing, changing what I'm thinking, changing what I perceive to be truth to what his truth really is. Amen. Hallelujah. And when I pray for the sick, he is ready to heal them. And when I love my neighbor as myself, he's ready to step in. Hallelujah. You know, we're living in a time when the children of God need to rise up and take courage. And we need to take back what the enemy has tried to take from us. And even what some of us have allowed to take from ourselves. You know, sometimes the enemy doesn't even have to do anything because we'll just do it ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we've just begin to believe something in ourselves that's not true about, like, I'm dumb. Man, I wish I was as smart as that person, but man, I'm dumb. And we begin to believe that lie. And then if you hear, because the Bible is true, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you begin to speak, rise up, but it's not self, you're beginning to hear it by faith. And that word about yourself is beginning to rise up, but it's not the word, that word on you. But I'm here to tell you, you can arise above that in Jesus' name. You know, I'm not accepting any labels except the label that my God has given me. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I am good. He says, I am great. He says, I have a purpose. I have a call. And how many of you know he says the same thing about you? And that's the label we need to take. We need to rise up in what the Lord is saying and take back what the enemy and what we've tried to take from ourselves. You know, the world is looking for hope and an answer. And how many people do we walk by every day in the grocery store, in the gas station, walking by at work? Every day, and we're carrying that hope that they're looking for. But we can't help them because we're believing that what we are seeing is greater than the God that we serve. Hallelujah. We are not reaching other people. Why? Because we are so focused on that army that's right in front of us that we have not allowed our eyes to be open to what God is showing us, and that's the greater army that's behind it. He is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we cannot help other people if our focus is on me and my problems. And it's not trusting in the one who said, seek me first. He says, seek me first. Seek me first. Sometimes we just forget that one small thing, and God's saying, just come to me. Just come to me in prayer. Come to me in praise and worship. Come to me. Seek me first. Hallelujah. You know, his will for us is to seek the lost and sick, and he will bring restoration, salvation, and healing. And then, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. See, in Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to supply them for us. Hallelujah. Stop looking at our bank account. We need to stop looking at our jobs as our source. And we need to begin to look to the one who provides for all of our needs. And that is God. He is the one who provides all of our needs. And sometimes we can go and look at our bank account and go, ooh, you know, we have like $5. Honey, I'm not sure what we're going to do. But God says, no. He says, I am your provider. And I will provide for all of your needs. You gave your tithe, your obedience to me. And I will provide all of your needs according to the riches and glories in Christ Jesus. Amen. He is going to provide those needs. We need to stop looking at the pain. It's time, because why? Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. You know, he's saying it's time to stop looking at those things that we see with our natural eyes and begin to look at those things with our spiritual eyes. You know, he's doing that right now, I believe, in the spirit right now. He's beginning to open some of our eyes. We're beginning to see him in a different way. We're going to leave this place and begin to do things differently. Why? Because he wants us to start focusing on him, on the one who provides for our needs, on the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, on the one, the only one. Hallelujah. He's the only one. See, we need to stop allowing our focus to be on all this stuff. And my Bible's in here, so this is my Bible. And we need to put it in our Bibles. That's where our focus is going to be. That's where we're going to know the voice of our shepherd. That's where we're going to know the voice of the God. That's where we can separate the voices that are coming telling us this and that. We know the voice of our God, and he will lead us. We will not know the voice of our enemy because it's strange to us, because we're not listening to it. See, in Bible school, there was this thing that they would tell us all the time, and I'm not probably going to say it right, so if I say it wrong, correct me, but they would always say that, you know, there are people connected to your gifting. There are people that God has purposely put out there and that are connected to you. And if we walk by them every day, I still believe God might send someone to them, but it's not going to be you. Because if our focus is in here and, oh, man, I had this problem, and, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay for my car payment, or, oh, man, you know, my kids are always sick, and I don't know what's going on, and this and that, and we're walking around like this, we're missing everything that God has put in our path. See, I don't want to miss those people that God has connected to me personally. I want to rise up, and I want to begin to look at those people and what he's done in the lives of my family and my friends. See, I don't want to be focused on myself anymore. I'm believing that God's getting ready to open our spiritual eyes so we can see the truth and the truth can set us free. How many of us want our spiritual eyes opened? Even more. You're in some areas that they may have like just kind of like, you ever in the car and you feel sleepy and you almost want to close your eyes like this, but you know if you do, you still can't. You can kind of see a little bit, but you can't. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we walk around and our eyes are kind of like squinty like that, like we can barely see. We're just barely seeing just a glimpse of what God has for us, but God wants our eyes to be completely open so we can see every, you know, like the, if you've ever seen an anime, their characters are like, their eyes are this big. And so that's what God wants our eyes to be like. He wants us to be like this big. Why? Because we're in love with God. Because nothing else, Jesus, nothing by us but the love of God. Nothing else will satisfy us but to see other people come to Jesus. Nothing else will satisfy us but being in his presence. Now we've got to have him. We've got to be with him. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing. So everybody stand to your feet today. You know, God is here to set us free from some things today. And Pastor James and I are reading this amazing book. If you can get it and read it, I would read it. It's called Rebuilding the Altar by Pat and Karen Schatzline. It's an amazing book, and it talks about rebuilding the altar of God. And God's begin to speak to me, and he's beginning to wake me up in the early morning and just talk to me about his altar. And how many of you know this is the altar of God? We carry the altar of God with us. But there's also a physical altar of God. And this might be a school cafeteria, but I believe that God's saying this is his altar. This is his altar today. It's in the front. You know, when the priest used to have, when back in the old times, they used to come and bring offerings and sacrifices for their sins once a year. And only the priest could go in and offer up the sacrifice, which was in the inner court. So it's, you go through a couple curtains to go into the Holy of Holies. It's called the inner courts. And that's where they would give the sacrifice. And God would come down and consume the sacrifice. And that's how you would atone for your sins. But how many of you know when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, he tore the veil, and that has been opened to us. We can enter in freely to the altar of God. We can enter in to the holy holies. Amen. And this is it right here. I believe God can touch you where you're sitting, but I'm telling you right now, surrender to God. He wants to take some things and switch it around. He wants to take your eyes and open them. He wants to take your heart and set it free from fear, from doubt, from depression. He wants to set you free. If you've been like wavering on your finances and you don't know why this is happening, God wants to show you. If there's sickness, he wants to heal you in Jesus' name. You know, this in the Holy of Holies. And I said, he can touch you where you're at. But you know what? I told you earlier, I want all that God has for me. And if that means I have to go up front and nobody's looking, this is between me and God. If I have to lay some things down and surrender some things, I am not going to be ashamed of my God. I'm not going to be ashamed of what he is doing in my life. I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to lay those things down. I'm going to allow those things to get taken off of me. Why? So I can serve God the best that I can, so that I can see those people who are in front of me and not be looking beyond them and beside them, so that I can see beyond the army that is in front of me that's coming to destroy me and my family, to destroy our health, to destroy our finances, and I can begin to look beyond and see the chariots of fire and the army of God that God has sent to help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes for a minute. You know, God is saying right now that some of us have walked arm in arm with the wrong things, and it's time to break off those things. In Jesus' name. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's fear. We have hooked arms with these things and we've come into agreement, but God is saying now is time for you to break off those things that we have agreed to walk in fellowship with. See, God is here saying, I know it's not easy what you're facing right now, but you've been relying and focusing on everything else but me. Return to me and I will give you rest. I will restore and I will make you whole again. See, this is what the Lord is declaring to us today. He is here to make us whole. He wants to meet you right here. He wants to restore your relationships. See, he is here to bring healing and hope. God is here. Just listen to this song. How do we fight our battles? We fight it here at the altar. We fight it here. We come against everything that the enemy is trying to cause to come against us. And we say, God, open the eyes that we may see. Open our hearts, Lord, that we can hear you, God. Lord, allow our focus to be on you. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is how we fight, God. We fight through praise and worship. We fight through prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, just bring your fire and consume this sacrifice that is here in Jesus' name, God. We surrender and we give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We surrender to you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We surrender to you, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.